Well, good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, we got a little enthusiasm. Thank you, God. So glad you're worshiping with us this morning. I want to welcome all those who are watching online in the 715 area code. Glad you're connecting with us, and just want you to know it is better in person. And everyone said, amen. Glad that all of you are here today. So this morning, how many of you grew up and you had show and tell? You had show and tell, okay. So this morning is show and tell, and I would love to show off a little one. But she might be sleeping. Here we go. So my show today is we have a real live princess that is here today. Yeah, a real live princess, but the princess is sleeping. Because little princess was not a princess last night. And so, and mama might be a little yawny this morning too. So she has, I gave one person permission to sleep in church this morning. Only one person. So glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. And I'm just excited about what God is doing through this relationship series. Before I get moving in with that, just a reminder that next Sunday, after service, we're going to be honoring Garrett Metz for his ministry and his leadership here in this church. And I just want to encourage you that you would make plans to stay after service. We're just going to have a little reception time in the gymnasium, and encourage you to bless him with a gift. Bless him with a gift or just a token of appreciation. Just come with words of appreciation. Maybe you want to write a note. Just want to encourage you to do that. That is going to be next Sunday after the service. All right, I've been fighting a cold here, so I'm going to take this cough drop and get moving here. We're in a series called Relationship Goals, and I encourage you to follow along in your sermon notes this morning. I think there's just a lot of good stuff here. And as I've started off each message, I just want you to know, if you're here today and you are finding yourself in the single category, I don't want you checking out. Okay, don't be checking out, because I think that a lot of the things that I'm going to be sharing today are just good relationship principles, but principles to prepare you for one day when you will be married, or if you choose to be married. And so I just want to encourage you, just be involved in this. For those who are married, there's a lot of good things in here from God's Word that we're going to look at. So we've been talking about relationship goals, and so we're just going to review them quickly here. First relationship goal that we talked about a few weeks ago is we are going to make first things first. In other words, we're going to make Jesus Christ number one. Jesus is number one. We're going to seek him first in all of our ways, and then all these things, all the other things will be added unto us. The second thing that we talked about is we're going to be united into one. Remember, we talked about this, that God is intention for marriage. So many scriptures back up this idea that the two individuals, they come together and they work together as one. And that is God's intention and purpose for your marriage. Last week, we talked about repelling temptation. And we know that we live in a world that is full of temptation. We deal with temptation every single day. But the importance that God has given to us to repel it and say, no, you don't belong in my house. You don't belong in my life. You don't belong in our marriage, in Jesus' name. So we talked about that last week. We have today, we're going to talk about something, and then in a few weeks, we're going to finish up this series. But today, we're going to talk about respecting my spouse. Respecting my spouse. So that word respect is defined as a deep admiration for somebody. Just look at your spouse and say, I really admire you. I really admire you. And it entails honoring a person's feelings and needs. So the other person, I would just want you to say, you know, not only do I admire you, but I honor you. I honor you. Just go ahead and tell that person, there you go. Now you got those googly feelings going on there. Just getting things started. That's good. So there's this website called couplestherapy.inc. It's not something I look at normally, but found some interesting thoughts here. They said in this marriage website that when partners treat each other with consideration, kindness, and appreciation. Let me say that one more time. When partners treat each other with consideration, kindness, and appreciation, it lays the foundation for a strong and lasting relationship. How many of you would agree with that? Yes, that makes sense. These are great building blocks here. Studies have shown that respect is a key predictor of a relationship satisfaction and longevity. In other words, if you got a lot of respect, if couples are respecting each other, things are going to go well. But when there's a marriage, a relationship where there's a lack of respect, even just a little bit, it tends to wear on you, and things just go into a direction you never thought that it would go in. One study found that the feeling of respected by one's partner was more important for relationship satisfaction than feeling loved. One more. Another study revealed that perceived respect from one spouse was associated with better conflict resolution and greater willingness to forgive. Paul, would you help me out here? Would you grab that bottle of water? Thank you. Just still fighting this cold. How many of you have had a cold the past few weeks? I just want to apologize if I gave that to you. I've been trying to do the fist bump, and some of you just insist on shaking my hand, and so if I gave that to you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think one of the biggest issues that I hear when I talk to married couples who are having problems, I hear married couples communicate something to the effect that I don't feel respected. I feel disrespected. Disrespect is to not, when you disrespect somebody, it's just, I really don't care about your feelings. I really don't care about what's going on in your life. I just focus on mine. How many of you say that would be a good definition of disrespect? And isn't it interesting that the people that we tend to put this disrespect on, isn't it interesting how it usually falls on the person who is closest to us? Isn't that interesting? It's that whole phrase, you've heard that phrase before, that hurting people hurt other people. And usually it comes in the form of disrespect. So how do we disrespect each other? First of all, here are just a couple ideas, all right? Just a couple ideas of how couples may disrespect each other. First of all, there's the keeping score. And I hope that this has never happened in your marriage. But sometimes there's couples that they just keep score, and there just becomes this spirit of competition that shows up in their marriage. And all of a sudden, what really happens is all of a sudden, in your mind, there is this scoreboard. And any time that they don't say anything just right, or they don't do anything just right, ting, 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 and we keep score on on their mistakes and on their failures and how they're not measuring up, and just kind of keeping score. And after a while, what happens is, oh, that's all you can see. If you're one of those scorekeepers, that's all you can see. That's all you can't see the positives. All you do is you're always looking out for the negatives. It's kind of that competitor in you. I got him. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, that's a good one right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's docked 50 points for that one. Okay. And then all of a sudden it becomes a competitiveness that happens. Here's another one. The spirit of being rude. Disrespect comes across as being rude. It's one of the ultimate disrespecting things that a person can do. And they tend to do it in public, especially in public. I knew this couple. I worked with this couple years ago. They had a different church. And man, this couple, they were like the kings and the queens of this. And my point is, anytime that they got into an argument, like, they didn't ease into the argument. I hope this isn't you, but they didn't ease into the argument. And the moment that the argument started, immediately, boom, both of them would hit below the belt with their words. Immediately go. And what I mean by hit below the belt, they would immediately attack that other person's insecurities. They knew what their insecurities were and immediately go there. And they just being rude. Another way that we can show disrespect in our relationships is through hurtful words. The Bible says that our words have the power to give life and they have the power to give death. You can really speak life. How many of you you've ever had somebody speak life into you? I just want to make sure we all understand. Have you raised your hand? You've had somebody speak life into you, and then don't raise your hand for this one, but you know what it means for somebody to speak death into you. And that happens. And I also want to be careful. I want to encourage you. One of the ways that sneaks in is that, and I used to be like this years ago when I was a youth pastor. I just was very sarcastic. And I soon learned that I became sarcastic with this one teenager and found out through the grapevine that I really had hurt this teenager's feelings through my sarcasm. So I just want to encourage you. Sometimes you get to having fun with your couple, with your partner, and I just encourage you, be careful with your words. Here's another way we become disrespectful is being inconsiderate. And being inconsiderate really is just the ultimate of being selfish. So I've heard people tell me, oh my goodness, my spouse is such a narcissist. Have you ever heard of that phrase, narcissist? A narcissist is someone who has an exaggerated sense of self-importance and excessive need for admiration. And man, as I'm listening to this person talk, there's a part of me that wants to say, and isn't this the truth? This is the reality? Isn't there a narcissist somewhat in all of us? In all of us? And I would call that our sinful nature. And so I just be careful with being inconsiderate. Number five, quickly here, always being right. Always being right. The spouse who can never lose an argument. They continuously correct their partner, and they continuously do it in front of people, and they never, 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 never apologize. And last of all is when couples are dishonest with each other. Here's what happens to couples, and I've seen this happen, because they want to avoid conflict. They're not honest with each other. So, hey, is something wrong? Is there something? When there's something that's obviously wrong, but that person, no, it's all good. No, I'm all right. There's nothing wrong. Okay, and here's what happens. Here's what happens when you're not honest with your emotions. When you're not honest with your emotions, guess what? They don't go away. And if you have something and it's obviously wrong, what happens? You take that hurt from the emotions that you tell your spouse, oh, no, it's no big deal, it's no big deal. And what you really did is you put it up on this shelf. You put it up on the shelf. And it stays there. And it doesn't go away. And then they do something else wrong, and they come to like, oh, you know, something wrong. No. No big deal. And then now you put that one on the shelf. And you know what happens? You begin to accumulate all of this resentment and hurt and pain. And you know what happens? One day, you put one, even just a small one, hurt up on that shelf, and that shelf caves in. And you just explode over a small thing. Maybe this has happened to you. What? Oh my goodness, what is wrong with you? And really, it's the accumulations of undealt with issues in your life. Here's the reality. Reality is, if you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. Trust is the foundation of every strong relationship. In Matthew 7:12, Jesus clarifies this thing that we call respect. That's what we're focused on. He clarifies what it looks like, and he clarifies it in what is known as the golden rule. How many of you have ever heard of that phrase before? The golden rule. You know what I mean by the golden rule? Like, this is the standard. The golden rule, like, if you would just focus. Sometimes you look at it like, you know, how many of you could name off all 10 commandments? Maybe some of you can do it, but like, I can't remember them all. But like, well, okay, wait a second. What if you could just remember one commandment? What if you could just remember one? And if you took care of that one, it would take care of all the others. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in what is known as the golden rule. And he says this, Matthew 7:12, he says, what if we were to do to others what you would like them to do to you? And then Jesus says this, he says that same point. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. What if we just, instead of trying to memorize, you know, no other gods before me, no other idols, don't steal, what's the other one? What if we were just focused on this one principle, and I'm going to do to others whatever you would like them to do to you? Can I just stop right here for a second? Isn't this interesting here? Some of these verses that we've been talking about in this sermon series, how many of you have noticed so many of them are relational based? Our relationships with each other, our relationships. So much of the Word of God deals with our, number one, our relationship with God, and number two is our relationship with each other. I just want you to see that is the character of God, that this principle of marriage is very important to God. God is concerned about the relationships in our lives. Here's the bottom line about the golden rule. The bottom line that if you get anything out of this message today, treat others the same way you expect others to treat you. What if we were to treat others in our life, in particular the person who's closest to us, what if we were to treat them in the same way that we expect others to treat us? You see, I think that we all have this innate expectation. We all have this innate expectation. It's kind of, you know it's true because, you know, you're driving down the road and somebody's like coming up on you and they're like tailgating you and then they pass you just like rudely and you're like, you're just angry. Can't they see how that made me feel, how rude that was? We have this expectation for people to treat us with respect. And for some reason, though, we understand this and we treat everyone else with this respect, but is it that we become so comfortable with our spouse that is not so important any longer? I heard this story about this couple. And this couple was in their first year of marriage. I don't know if your first year of marriage was like what I'm about to explain here, but they were staying at some friend's house, and they got into an argument. And so they went into the guest bedroom where they were staying, and they began to hash things out. And while they're arguing with each other, they became really rude and disrespectful. They started to say things that were out of bounds towards each other. And then the wife, like, oh my goodness, she just turns pale white. And she goes, oh my goodness, she realizes that there's a baby monitor sitting on the counter. She's like, stop. But the husband said, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I turned it off right before we came in. Oh, okay. So then they go right back at it. And the wife is so frustrated, and she says, she just stomps right out of the room. She can't take it any longer. She comes back into the room. And she said, I just went into the living room. You didn't turn the baby monitor to the off position. You turned it to voice activation. So their friends heard the entire argument. I just wonder how differently we would treat our spouse if we knew other people were listening. If other people were in the other room, in the room, how would we treat them any different? But here's the deal. Here's the deal. When we disrespect our spouse, there is someone else in the room listening. Not only is the Holy Spirit there listening, but it is your spouse who hears you. If you want respect, you have to give it. If you want respect, you have to give it. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul challenges us to treat each other with respect in marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 is a great chapter on the topic of biblical marriage. And he says this, Ephesians 5:21. He says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, this whole phrase, submit to one another, that means that we're called to surrender yourself. Each one, the husband and the wife, is called to surrender their selfishness, their pursuit, their desires, themselves, for the benefit of the other. You know, another word for this is the whole idea of mutual respect. Everybody say mutual respect. This is where each person works hard to intentionally show respect to the other person. Now, I'm going to use a kindergarten analogy here. I'm going to go junior high-ish, all right? I'm going to go junior high-ish, but you know that this is a reality. This has been a reality in your home. This issue has been going on since the invention of the toilet. Okay? And maybe some of you have dealt with this issue in your house, and the wife would argue, put the seat down. Because when you don't put the seat down and it's in the dark, I'm going to fall into the toilet. And the husband would argue, put the seat so I don't pee on the seat. So the argument would just go on and on. She would argue, all you have to do is put the seat down when you're done. What's so hard about that? Am I like, some of you like, how does he know? How does he know? How does he? And then he would tell her, guys get stubborn like this. I'll start putting the seat down when I'm done, when you start putting the seat up when you're done. Isn't it crazy how just something like a toilet seat can just erupt into like the biggest hurricane that's ever happened in your family? And here's the deal, neither of them can understand the other person's needs because all they can think about is their needs, right? And finally, one day, the husband realized how foolish this was. And what a glorious day that is. And he realized, and he sees how negatively that this is affecting the marriage. And so one day, instead of arguing, he makes the decision, I'm just going to start putting the seat down when I'm done, just as my wife asked me to. And he started to do this on a regular basis. Guess what happened? Guess what happens? All of a sudden, he begins to notice that she began to notice her husband started putting the seat down, so she started putting the seat up. Isn't that interesting? Just that principle of respect, the principle of mutual respect. I'm not only looking out for my needs, but I'm looking out for the needs of my spouse. If you get anything out of this message today, get this down in your mind. If you want respect, you've got to give it. If you're longing for respect in your marriage, you got to first give it. First, give it. Today, I want to talk about quickly here three ways to build mutual respect in your relationships. I am not a counselor. I'm not a licensed therapist. Maybe these are things that I have learned the hard way. Well, I'm confident I've learned the hard way. But these are just principles that are just true when we started looking at mutual respect. And the first thing that I would tell you to do to build mutual respect in your marriage is, first of all, appreciate your differences. Just look at your spouse right now and say, I appreciate you. Sweetheart, I appreciate you. I really do. Didn't that feel good? I appreciate you. Ben and Jen, you guys are getting a little carried away. So just focus to the pastor now. All right, get back with me. All right. When we were first married, and I asked permission to say some things, I didn't give detail. But when we were first married, it always bothered me that Michelle did not think, act, or feel like I did. And in other words, to be realistic, it bothered me that she could not read my mind. That is the truth of the matter, okay? And I'm sure, I know that, well, I'm still getting help here, folks, okay? I'm still getting help. But it bothered me that she just like didn't understand, hello, can you not read my mind that this is going on here? The problem was, the reality was, I didn't understand or appreciate our differences. I didn't understand. I did not understand. Why doesn't she see the obvious? And the only thing that was obvious after years of growing up and maturing, and I still feel like I'm in that place, the only thing that was obvious is that we are different. Just look at your spouse right now and say, you are so different. And now tell them, that's what I love about you. I love that about you. You're just different. Doesn't it feel good to get that out? You've been thinking that for so long. He's just so different. How did this come about? Well, can we just go to our Bibles right here? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go to the very beginning. The very beginning in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. And it says that he, talking about God, created male and he created female. And he blessed them and he called them human. All right, so what did we accomplish out of that? We acknowledged right there at the beginning, God made us different. He made us different. He didn't make us to read each other's minds. He made us different. And here's our differences. Besides the obvious physical difference, and all the men said, amen. All right. We process things differently. There's a book out there called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. Well, what's the whole idea out of this book? It talks about how men, when we think we process things differently, we compartmentalize. So in other words, we can really only be in one space at a time. When I'm in my work mode, I'm stuck in my work mode. When I'm at home, in a home mode. And when I'm in that home project, so it's hard for us. We compartmentalize. And his idea about women is everything for women is mixed together. So whatever is happening at work is happening at home is happening in this other area over here. They all mix together. It's like a big bowl of spaghetti. And we're different. We're different because God made us differently. For Michelle and myself, we had, and for all of you, you had different upbringings. So Michelle, she had one older sibling, an older brother, 4 or 5 years older, different. So when she grew up, I mean, he was kind of doing his own thing. So she kind of grew up as an only child. She kind of grew up in a rather reserved family. She grew up in a Scandinavian home. I'm not saying that that's bad. Just saying it comes with some things here. Okay. I grew up in a family of 6 kids. I was number 5. I don't know if I've ever pointed out, but I was the victim in the family. Just want to establish that. I was the victim in the family. In my house, it was a small, tiny house. Michelle grew up in a big house, okay? I grew up in a tiny house of 5 or 6 kids. And here's the best way that I can, here's the only word that I can use to describe my growing up years. The word that just keeps coming to my mind is chaos. Chaos. Our house was chaos in the kingdom. And there was just the voice that shouted the loudest was the voice that got their own way, okay? And so there was everybody trying to outshout each other. She grew up in a Scandinavian home. I grew up in a German home. And then that might explain stubbornness and things like that. Okay, all right. Different personalities. Some of you may recognize that you have different personalities in your relationship. One of you is introverted, and you just really connect with people one-on-one. You're just not a fan of really big crowds. But then the extrovert is a person that gets a lot of energy when you're around a whole lot of people. And everybody, you know, like, hey, let's just keep inviting people over to the house. And it's just different. Just look at your spouse one more time and say, you are so different. And that's what I love about you. And then we have this thing, and I've talked about this before. To be honest, this principle right here helped me tremendously. Back in the day, in the 90s, this book came out called The Five Love Languages. And I had, when somebody explained, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then they explained, it's like, hey, the five love languages, Gary Chapman says, we all have a tendency to love and be loved in a certain way. Of these five, we tend to lean in a certain direction. I'm like, what? And maybe that explains the differences that we have, because I've always felt like that I'm just always affirming people and just always, this, I always believe in the best in him, and I just couldn't understand why it wasn't coming back my way. And then Michelle was always quality time. I'm like, well, yeah, I got time here, but I gotta do this and I gotta do that. And so her need was for me to spend time with her. My need was for affirmation, and it just wasn't happening because I didn't understand. Because different. We were different. I would encourage all of you here today. Boy, if you could look into this five love languages. Here's the five love languages quickly here. There's words of affirmation. There's quality time. There's acts of service. There's receiving gifts. And receiving gifts is even just a small gift. That person gets a feeling he's always thinking about me. He's thinking about me. Physical touch, holding hands, back rubs. And here's the reality. We all tend to love the other person naturally out of our love language. And because we're different, it becomes problematic because a lot of times that's not their love language. So we can become confused. I'm just showing you love all the time, showing you love all the time. And the other person's like, well, here's the deal. I don't feel loved. I don't feel loved. Because you are loving that person in your love language and not theirs. Does that make sense? I would encourage you to look into this. You don't need to read the whole book, but I would encourage marriage couples. When I do premarital counseling, I tell every marriage couple, you got to do this. Go to 5lovelanguages.com and take the love language assessment. I'm telling you, this is so important. This will be, if you struggle with differences in your marriage, this will help you with the differences. All right, quickly here. Three ways to build mutual respect in relationship. First of all, you need to appreciate your differences. Appreciate the differences. Appreciate the gift that you have in your spouse. Number two, you need to accept each other. Look what Paul says here in Romans 15:7. He says, therefore, accept each other. I'm not holding back. I'm not, not like this, but I accept you just as you are, just as Christ accepted you, so that God will be giving glory. This is a need for all of us, whether you realize it or not. This is a human need within all of us. How many of you ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of human needs? Maybe study this in college or high school. But it talks about the five biggest needs that each person has. And it starts with the foundation. So our physiological needs, food, water, and sleep. That number one, that needs to happen, okay? And then second of all, we need to feel safe. We need to feel safe and secure. And look at number three. We need a sense of love and belonging. Love and belonging. In other words, and another word for that is we need acceptance. Acceptance. And by the way, if you're new here to Thrive Church, we want everybody to know, and those who are watching online, wherever you are in your faith journey, wherever in life, you are welcome, you're accepted, and you are loved. And I hope each and every Sunday, each time you walk into the doors of this church, you feel welcome, accepted, and loved. You see, we have this innate need to be loved by others, and Jesus demonstrates that for us in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We see Jesus modeling acceptance and respect as he interacts with a Samaritan woman. So I don't have enough time to explain this whole analogy here, but he connects with this Samaritan woman at this well, And first of all, you need to understand, we all do, they were different. Back in those days, this was huge. Men and women did not talk to each other in public. Not only that, not only was she a woman, but she was a woman with a very bad reputation. So you not only did not talk to women, but you did not talk to women with bad reputation, especially if you are a rabbi like Jesus. Not only that, but she was a Samaritan. Now we're talking about racial issues. You did not, if you were a Jew, you didn't even acknowledge people who were Samaritans. There was this gigantic stigma. They despised each other, and they did all they could to disrespect each other. You just have to get the context of this story when you read it. However, Jesus accepts this woman for who she is, just as she is. He treats this woman with respect. You got to read the story, John chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Instead of rejecting her, which society had called for him to do, instead of rejecting her because she was different, he accepted her for who she was. Just think if we could get that vision for marriage. Instead of disrespecting our spouse because they are different, what if we could just accept them for who they are? You see, Jesus did not look through his man's eyes, but he didn't see a different race. He didn't see a different belief system. He didn't see a sinner. He looked through God's eyes, and he saw a person who is loved, valued, and accepted. And by the way, that's how God sees you today. God loves you. I don't know where you are in your faith journey today, but God loves you. God desires to have a relationship with you. You are valued in God's eyes, and God accepts you naturally. And I think that we need to learn to accept our spouse in the same way Jesus accepts us, just like Paul said. Just like Paul said. So that we're talking about here this morning, three ways to build mutual respect. And first of all, it starts with appreciating your differences. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to accept each other. And then the third thing, we're going to align together for success. Alignment is when you have two separate pieces begin to work together as one. Where have you heard that? Where have you heard that idea? We talked about that here a few weeks ago, that the two come together as one. And that's all throughout Scripture when defining marriage, that the two come together as one. And we have, listen to me, we have so much potential when we give this vision, when we get this vision and we start to live out this vision. You've heard this passage, I've said it a couple times the past few weeks, but I wanted to stick Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls down, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. It just reminds me of one of our, Michelle watches football with me, so I watch Hallmark, HGTV, and figure skating with her, okay? It's a fair exchange. That's our version of mutual respect. But I think of a vision that I have when talking about this. If you can just go ahead and put that picture up on the screen. When you see things like this in figure skating, it is absolutely amazing. You see two people working together as one unit, and they make something just beautiful when they work together. If these two people would start working against each other, it would look like a hockey match between USA and Canada like it did the other night, right? It would just be a mess. There would be blood all over the ice. The paramedics would be there. But when they work together as they are designed to be, it's something beautiful, something that God had intended. This is the vision that God has for your marriage. This is the vision God wants. but it's working. It's mutual respect, respecting her talents and giftings and respecting his strength and his abilities. Let's work together. What would happen if we had the same vision and we worked together in this thing called mutual respect? Somebody said this: the best marriage is where both individuals are committed to serve each other for the benefit of the marriage. The worst marriage is two selfish people who only want what's best for themselves. Amen. As we close out here today, some of you are like, okay, Pastor, we've been at this for several years, and that picture that you had up there is definitely not the picture of our marriage. Ours would definitely look like the Canada versus USA hockey match, like the other night. Did you hear about that? Within the first 9 seconds, there was 3 fights that broke out, the first 9 seconds of the game. Some of you would say that's us. How do we get to how God has designed us to be? And the only thing that I can say to you this morning is you need to start over. You need a reboot, if you will. You know what you do when you reboot? You turn the power off and then you turn it back on again. And James tells us this in James 5:16, kind of a reboot method. He says this. He says, what if we are to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed? What if in our marriage we would begin to confess our sins to each other? And if we were to begin to pray for each other so that there would be healing in our marriage? Then he says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I want to encourage you, it's time for a reboot. For some of you, I don't know what's going on in your marriage, but it's probably time for a reboot. And maybe, and again, if you want respect, you got to give respect. And maybe the way for this reboot to happen is for you to confess to your spouse that you've not been respecting her, respecting him, and you want this to reboot. And instead of focusing on all of his mistakes, her failures, his failures, I'm going to start asking God to reveal to me my stuff. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And I'm going to ask you if you would forgive me. We need a reboot. We need a reboot in our marriages. As I close out this message today, I don't know where you are. I know that we have been through seasons of reboot. And it takes confession, and it takes prayer, and then it takes the next day to confess, and then more prayer, and then it probably takes the next day to confess, and it's a process. But man, I feel like my marriage is like that picture we had on the screen. I feel like that's where we're at, and I pray that on you. Can I just pray for marriages all around this room in Jesus' name? Or I pray for married couples just gone through seasons of disrespect, seasons of hurt, seasons of pain. And Father, the call is for a reboot. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would cause couples to humble themselves. And God, that you would give them a vision for the marriage that you have in store for their lives. I pray in this room and those who are watching online, a spirit of healing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to just quickly here, talked a moment ago about how our God is a relational God, and God's greatest desire, listen to me, God's greatest desire is to have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. It changes everything. And if you would like to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right here, right now. Just pray with me. Just stick with me here for just a second. Just say, God, I need you. I'm inviting you today to come and live inside of me. I confess that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Today, I make the decision to make Jesus the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 If you've prayed that prayer, I want you to know all of heaven is rejoicing. Your life has been changed in Jesus' name. Let's give it up for his salvation this morning. If you prayed that prayer, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we have a gift that we want to help, that we want to give to you to help you in your prayer journey. We have some folks who are in the back at the guest center. And just go ahead and speak to those folks in the back. They have a Bible that they want to give to you that's going to help you in this journey.